Every single day I feel
it. Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never know I'm blessed, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Welcome back to That One Studios, the Woody Mantle Show. It's your boy C-Rock here, rocking it out.
Music license
for you today to find out what they're made of. And also an awesome mission this dude's on. Chris Wright's in the building. He's the founder and CEO of the AI Trust Council. He's leading the crucial mission against corruption in big tech, government, and the risks posed by AI. He's got 25 years of experience in entrepreneurship in the military. And he's got a unique background as a U.S. Army attack helicopter pilot, civilian commercial pilot, and CEO of several successful startups, which make him adept at navigating complex challenges. He's also a friend and client. I met him in Vegas at Risk On. Todd Ault, shout out Todd Ault, Risk On. We were hanging out with Tucker Carlson and RFK Jr. and many others, and great times. But Chris, welcome to the show.
Awesome to be with you. Yeah, great to see you.
Yeah, man. So, look, I wanted to bring you on, of course. I want to give you exposure because, you know, you're working with us now. But more importantly, I'm interested in what you're talking about and the mission that you're on based on what we had talked about in the past. But before we get into all that, I got to ask you the question that we start to show off the same way every time. And that is, and make sure you project, what are you made of?
What am I made of? I'm made of 100% American spirit, I can say. Being an American, born in Texas, believe in the Constitution, believe in freedom. You know, I would say that's the foundation of who I am. And, and so I definitely want to bring that to the tech world and share what I've seen in my brief period of time dealing with these guys.
Yeah. So what does freedom mean to you? Like, can you define like what your definition is?
The freedom means the ability to not look over your shoulder constantly, not worry about everything you do being scrutinized and restricted. And right now what I'm seeing online is that there is not a lot of freedom. Your ability to speak and communicate and share information, it's a mess right now.
Yeah. And a couple questions on this because I'm going to, you know, we align more than anything, but I got to also ask questions because I know a lot of people would ask me these questions and I'd love to get your answers to some of these, but like when it comes to this, what about the people that say, well, like, what about the fact that, the government knows some things we don't know? Cause I know you know this. And they have to do some of these things to protect us. And some of, you know, up front seems like it's freedom restricting, but at the end of the day, it really helps with our freedom. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I get that. And I do think that in today's day and age, you do need that balance between security and freedom. And that's a critical one. But, you know, our Constitution provides certain protections, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly. Those types of things are guaranteed to us. So, despite how bad it can get, you know, we still have, you know, outlets that we can use to get our message out and as people and avoid a tyrannical situation. And what I'm seeing right now is that you definitely do have a lot of tyranny in the world and also online. So it's a problem.
All right, so we'll get into this stuff here in a second, but before we do that, let's like kind of dive into your history and your story. Everybody's got a story, Chris. What's your story?
Yeah, so my story, I started in tech early on, right after high school. I was in college, got an internship in Newport Beach, working for a venture capital business incubator, working with small internet startups. So got involved with that. And so I got to see a lot of how the early internet was built, you know, Web 1.0. And so... was doing that while I was in school and then ended up getting accepted into flight school, started flying Apaches early 2000s, and then ended up spending some time in Afghanistan, and then ended up getting out of the military for a period of time and doing contract work over in the Middle East. So I was over in the Middle East for about 10 years teaching Arab students how to fly the Longbow. They bought the Longbow Apache, and so I was part of a team that went over there to help instruct them on how to use it. And since then came back and, still in the, Army Reserves right now, getting out, completely finished, just finishing up. And so I ran a logistics company up in Northern California, working with Amazon, and then, yeah. And so, That's a whole story. And it really opened my eyes to what's going on in this country. I was out of the country for about 10 years, and I kind of don't recognize the country coming back. You know, it's not the same place where I grew up at all. You know, as an entrepreneur, business owner, you know, it's a struggle just to, you know, have a good idea and bring it forward. And it shouldn't be like that. You know, and so what I'm seeing is there's a lot of corruption, a lot of manipulation, and especially a lot of, you know, there's a big problem in Silicon Valley. And this gets into why I started the AI Trust Council. You know, I first was interested in artificial intelligence, you know, thinking like, hey, this is a very cool tool. You know, it can do amazing stuff. This is the future. And, you know, I really wanted to get into it and see what it was all about. Very quickly learned that senior leaders in tech are ignoring the safety concerns, ignoring the warnings of experts. And so that got me really interested to try to figure out what's going on. And then we can get into that. But I think if the public knew the full story of, you know, where our leaders in tech and also in government are taking us, that they would be pretty surprised.
Yeah. And so when you were on the road overseas, I call it on the road, and you notice different countries operating in different ways, right? And seeing how we came in, sometimes you're obviously there, that means we came in as a country and imposed our will in a way. But like, what kind of things did you notice as far as like your thoughts and your change of thoughts on humanity from when you were growing up as a kid to seeing, you know, how countries treat their people?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I lived in Dubai, or the United Arab Emirates. I was in Abu Dhabi for a period of time also. And I saw how they actually really protect their population. They do a good job of treating their people very, very well. There's a lot of benefits that the government gives out to citizens. It's very oil rich. So it's kind of like Alaska, where citizens there get taken care of. But I also saw the implementation of an AI governance system there. They brought on the IBM Watson surveillance system. And basically what that is, it's a digital track and trace of pretty much everything you do, all the way from your cell phone to the cameras. And it's a combined system, so that if someone commits a crime, you literally, if you're in law enforcement, all you have to do is press rewind or fast forward, and you can figure out where the person, you know, came from and where they went. And ultimately, you can see what that does to the society and policing. I mean, on the streets of Dubai, you don't see cops. I mean, you might see like one Lamborghini cop, you know, for show, but the majority of the time, you really don't see police. And the reason why is because they have this AI surveillance system that is all encompassing. So literally, like if you have a private video camera at your house, that video feed goes through the government server. They collect it, and it gets used in their system. And so so literally, it's a full surveillance state. They do a pretty good job of managing that, because they really don't use that system and get into the weeds of the day to day life that people are doing. But in situations where you know, there's a crime of some sort, you know, and law enforcement is brought in, they, like I said, they just basically rewind or fast forward. So it makes their job real easy. And so you look at that, and, you know, you look at China, and you look at the governance capabilities of these tools, and you can see the you know, why the globalists, you know, like Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, those guys are, you know, licking their lips, like, you know, they cannot wait to bring the system in. And so they're doing it in Europe, they're doing it in UK, Canada. So we're next. And so that's why, you know, this next election is super, super critical, because the future, if we don't get this right today and make some smart decisions between now and November, basically what's going to happen is we're going to end up with a social credit score, also central bank digital currency. And a digital track and trace, it's very similar to China. And the issue there is, it's, you know, talk about freedom, constitution, you know, none of those basic principles are even anywhere close to what they're thinking about. They're thinking about control. And so
on that, United Arab Emirates, when you went there, and then China and all that, is that a good thing to you, that they don't have a lot of crime and that they have access to all this stuff? Or is that over the line when it comes to freedom?
Yeah, I think it's insane. I mean, it totally affects behavior. If you speak out against the government in UAE, I mean, you will get arrested. You will get beaten. You'll get put, you know, you'll
okay, get put so in jail. That's a problem in a way, but even though there's low crime. So it's like a trade-off, right? Mm-hmm. You're giving up your ability to be free speaking, to do things that you want to do without people watching you, but there's less crime.
Yeah.
So where's the center? Where's the center, man?
Well, and that's the thing. So there, you know, there are constitutional protections that should be in place, you know, in these systems. If there are, you know, the inevitable is that, you know, governments are going to look at these tools, you know, whether it's drones, whether it's, you know, full surveillance, whatever. And it makes their job of enforcement super, super easy. And so on any whim of a government official, they can be like, hey, I think we should mandate this, you know, raw milk. Maybe we caught some Amish people selling raw milk. And you know, if you have an AI system that is completely, you know, it's all around us, there's literally, you could have complete lawfulness. Or and you have a population of like people that are like North Koreans almost, and you can see it in China. I mean, they're like little drones, and so the idea of individual expression, you know, and just what it is to be a human is suppressed, and that's terrible. So
yeah, so where is that line? Like where is the, if I could snap my fingers and make it happen, and it made it perfect based on what your knowledge is and expertise on this. What does it look like? Paint the picture for me of what it looks like in a perfect world.
Yeah. So I think that what you want is you want constitutional protections that limit government's ability to overreach on with these technologies. I think that you want local leaders to have a lot of influence in how these technologies are brought out. But ultimately, I think that, you know, you don't want to sacrifice freedom for safety. You know, that's that old quote. You know, it's like if you do that, you're going to get neither. You know, you're not going to get either safety or freedom.
Well, not to cut you off, but like after 9/11, there was a lot of things going on. And who was it? Was it Edward Snowden or Julian Assange? I forget which one did the thing where they were talking about the NSA tapping phones and listening to phones and.
Yeah.
Who was the whistleblower for that? Which one of those guys?
Edward Snowden. You know, you could look at 9/11. You could look at, you know, things that happened there. You know, people who look at 9/11, you can see 100%. It has opened the door to a surveillance state. You're like, hey, there's this boogeyman. You never know where he's at. It's Al-Qaeda. You know, he's coming to get you. And then, you know, for that reason, we need to have full digital track and trace. And so, and that's why I look at homelessness, the crime issues in the United States. You look at, you know, most Democrat-run cities, you end up with, you know, just total dystopia. You know, I was in downtown Sacramento the other day. You drive into the city, and it's literally like, it reminded me of, you know, kind of a third world. I was in Nairobi for a little while. In Nairobi, it's just shanty towns, you know, just like just shacks and just mm-hmm. filth everywhere. It was actually nicer in Nairobi than certain parts of Sacramento, you know, or
why do Democrats like let that happen and want that? Why are they okay with that? And why are Democratic voters okay with that?
Well, that's the thing. So, it gets into this fundamental split that's going on. You got people that have what they call a mind virus. And so this is, it's a woke mind virus. These people, do not see those issues and ultimately we've been subjected to psychological operations in the United States worldwide actually and so what you end up with is a total misperception of reality because of the manipulation you know and you know AI tools just make that much easier and so what I see is this future that they want is an AI control system. Right. And so it's like, well, how can you get the people to beg for that system? And you get them to beg for it if they create a really kind of crappy situation to start with. And so that situation is what you see in different cities. So it's like, you know, police. So
they destroy to get this thing where people are like, oh, I got to have better. I'm done. I'm like, they hit rock bottom and then they're willing to do pretty much whatever you want them to and they get power.
Yeah.
So I want to point something out to you. So I was watching Dr. Drew Pinsky on X Twitter Spaces the other day. And he had this guy on Dr. Let me see. I'll tell you. Hold on. This is tying right into this. Guy's name is, hold on. I have a book here that I wanted to, Dr. Michael Nels. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he wrote a book called the Indoctrinated Brain. Okay. So I just ordered this book and it says how to successfully fend off the global attack on your mental freedom. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you about this because what he said in this interview is this one thing I want to point out is not that there's a mind virus and program, not just that part, but also people start to attach their personality to it so that when we, like I say we because I don't have the mind virus, but when we talk to someone and we debate them or we say we complain about something, we point something out, they don't even think about the issue. They take it personally because it hit on their personality. And that's what he was saying. Does that make sense? Have you thought about that? Like why they fight you so bad and they take things, you know, get offensive or take offense to things, get defensive?
100%. I mean, it's strange because it gets into the realm of just being completely illogical. And I think we're at that point where if, you know, certain people are advocating for, you know, what's currently going on, you know, then you have to look at them like, okay, well, you know, for example, vaccines, I don't know if you're allowed to talk about that here, but like,
I can talk about whatever the hell you want, man.
So it's like, yeah, but the vaccines, it's like, you know, look at the damage they cause. It's unbelievable, you know, and that information is coming out. It has been suppressed. It's a merging of, basically in big tech, this is the secret is that, we have anti-aging now. So, you know, life extension is a reality, right? So we can now extend age of humans. And so depending on the science, you know, potentially, you could have it indefinitely. You could live forever potentially.
So are you talking about biohacking and all these different things that are coming out with stem cells and NAD and all these different things? Is that kind of what you're talking about? Or is there more than
that? Yeah, there's a protein called A2M protein. I was just at a conference the other day, you know, the longevity conference, and you know, there's a bunch of different companies working on this, but the science has gotten so much better because you don't need scientists as much now. AI has solved the protein folding problem. And so that's the ability to model what a protein would look like in certain cases. And so what that does, it allows scientists to engineer new remedies and, you know, all sorts of, it just empowers them to solve a lot of different problems. And aging is one of those, you know, chronic disease, you know, basically we can solve most of the problems, most of the ailments that are hurting us today. And through AI, you can solve that and the scientific community. And so, you look at this issue and this is, you know, we've got Davos going on, you know, right now. And this is what this is the kind of stuff.
All the escort services are sold out, by the way, I saw in the news.
Yeah, probably. Exactly.
That's what it said. Like they all the escort service, websites. So they like, that just blows my mind. But anyway,
sorry to interrupt.
Wait a minute, but I want to point something out what you just said though about the AI. Now, if we can biohack and extend age limitless, whatever, can AI also cure or solve the issues that causes, which is everybody living forever, the population going crazy? Can AI solve that problem too? Or does that create another problem that now we have to do population control?
Well, that's what it gets into. And so what you've got, you know, like right now in China, you've got digital girlfriends, you know, you've got, the porn industry's going crazy with the VR stuff and, the realism. And so you actually have, large segments of the population, especially young men that are gravitating towards this and developing, emotional bonds with, AI avatars, where they actually like, fall in love with these things.
What was that? Was that movie called Her? I think there was a movie. Was it Tom Hanks or somebody?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
one of got tied up into. It was Her. I forget who it was, but yeah. I mean, yeah. this is an issue. So, but you didn't answer my question though. Will AI be able to solve the issue that living forever, extending life, causes with resource management and overpopulation and all that? Will AI be able to solve that part?
Well, and this is something that Elon Musk talks about a lot, is that we do not have a population problem. The population problem is that we don't have enough people. You know, there's a lot of countries where people aren't reproducing. You know, you can look at Japan, you can look at different birth rates in countries, and especially in the Western world, and they're way, way down. You know, you look at the, you know, the chemicals issues that we're dealing with right now, fertility, you know, if you were to design a system that would reduce population, it would look exactly like what we're seeing today. You know, the nuclear family is kind of mocked at best. You know, it's, you know, our agenda today is, you know, let's pretend that there's a, you know, a third gender and, you know, there's something completely different other than just men and women. You know, let's introduce kids to, you know, porn and, you know, hardcore stuff at like a really young age. And what that does, it's a psychological operation, because what it does to kids is they grow up and they're completely disconnected from reality and what a normal kind of existence is about. And so they get to be, you know, teenage and early 20s and stuff like that. And they literally have no concept of, you know, a normal, healthy relationship. And so what that does to marriage and, you know, the, you know, family stability, it completely undermines it. And if you're looking from a government perspective, with this thing in the back of your mind, hey, we need to reduce the population, then it would make total sense what they're doing. So the idea is that, you know, they're trying to reduce the population, trying to, get us set up for the acceptance of this new global order. And that new global order is the Chinese style social credit score system, digital track and trace. You know, if you complain about crime, you know, you know, people, DAs in a lot of these cities, you're able to steal, you know, almost $1,000 worth of merchandise from a store without getting prosecuted. You know, you can't even walk outside without, you know, stepping over homeless people, in a lot of cities. And you have to ask yourself why, you know, why is that the case? And if you look at the global population issue, also with AI coming on board, you end up with a clear picture of why this is being allowed. And that's the real truth. I mean, I've talked to senior leaders in tech who are happy to replace humans. They are happy to depopulate. They are happy to build a new future where humans aren't part of it. And that's kind of hard to believe, but they literally look at human 1.0, us in our current form, as outdated. And what they're looking for is human 2.0, the ability to merge with machines digitally.
Well, kind of, aren't we already with this attached to us at all times?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what they've already started with this, right?
Yeah.
I got so many questions for you, man. So hold on. And the thing is, you cover so much, okay? And I don't know how do you take all the stuff that you just talked about and all the stuff we've talked about in the past and then get focused on something? Because you can't be possibly productive when you're scattered all over the place with all these different issues, right? So are you narrowing in on AI and is that how you're focusing on this? Or how do you decide what to focus on with all this stuff going on?
Yeah, so what I'm trying to do is I'm building a system that can it's a countermeasure for the World Economic Forum's vision. Basically, like, I'm at war with the World Economic Forum. We're an emergency. If humans alive today don't start standing up and pushing back against this agenda, you're going to end up with a dystopia. And so now is our chance to push forward on this. And so what I've done is I've created an AI trust council. And what that's done is recruited firefighters, EMTs, commercial pilots, military veterans, humanitarians. Humanitarians is a catch-all. So if you're perceived as being a humanitarian by five people, then you're a humanitarian.
Democrats considered humanitarians?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. If they do something good for good people, you know, they do something for other people.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a certain amount of people that are just misguided. I mean, they're too glued on MSNBC all day, you know. But
yeah, well, what about the people that, like, because I went into this room the other day, I think it was on Spaces, and I'm like, why, you guys don't see that you're being you're programmed and you're all sheep? And they're like, well, how do you know you're not programmed? And I'm like, well, I guess I am programmed in a way. I'm programmed the right way. So, but okay, so a couple things. I got to set this up the right way. One, do you have a security clearance since you've been in the military and what you did?
Yeah.
And does that carry through to what you're doing now in the reserves? You have a certain level of
security? Yeah, I just have a basic secret clearance.
Okay.
Yeah, and so then, it's so not you have to be careful. TS or anything like that.
But do you have to be careful what you say on podcasts and when you're coming out and talking and doing your job here?
I've learned stuff that is disruptive, and I've learned things in this process that probably shouldn't really get spread too much, just because you could have a breakdown of Law and Order, that type of thing. And so there's reasons why certain things need to be kept quiet. You know,
even away from Congress, right?
No, I mean, yeah, Congress can know about it, but
But like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, there's some of the UAP stuff that the Congress isn't getting disclosed.
They
should be getting disclosed. Like, it could have to do with that kind of stuff as well.
100%. Yeah. So there are realms that exist that, you know, people are just kind of getting into now, and and where that goes, and basically you have to deal with Law and Order. You have to deal with the public. You don't want panic, you know, that type of thing. So you want to keep things in the realm of happy and good. But at the same time, you have to push back against bad actors, you know, people who are doing bad things to people. You know, that's why we built the Constitution. You know, the Constitution is what it is, because it's like it's a representation of human nature. You know, it's like we all know how humans can get. Humans can do really, you know, wacky, bad stuff. Right. And so. So ultimately, you have a framework in place to protect the little guy, protect the individual, and that's basically, that's what's missing right now, in a lot of ways, you know, especially with regards to technology.
So how do you discern or filter this information or these topics, and keep yourself out of going down conspiracy, real true conspiracy, not being called conspiracy theory,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But real true conspiracy theory, rabbit holes that just, it's just somebody trying to distract you, right? How do you discern that and filter that out? And how should everybody else?
Yeah, I think that there's a, that term conspiracy theory, came after JFK assassination, you know? So it's like, was that a conspiracy? You know, I think anybody who looks at that, can see exactly what was going on there. But yeah, it's tough because you're dealing with competing narratives, and ultimately you're dealing with, major agendas that involve money and power. And so, so the truth gets lost somewhere in that, you know, process. And oftentimes the countermeasure for the ones that are kind of creating our reality, the countermeasure is just to label things conspiracy. You know, you just say, hey, it's a conspiracy, and then you just dismiss it and it goes away, right? And mm-hmm. So you can sit there and yell until you're blue in the face. Nobody's going to listen to you because they
recruit people, right, that buy into it to continue to call other people conspiracy theorists. And then that is their biggest weapon, is the people that are recruited by that message. Like, they don't even need to do a whole lot because they got people that all buy into the narrative.
Yeah.
That it's a conspiracy theory. So that becomes their army. But how do you discern? How do you filter through the information to make sure that you're not going down some bullshit?
Yeah, to get down some rabbit hole. Yeah, I think, you know, number one is you have to check your sources. You know, check where data comes from. Check the origin of the data. And then you have to look at logic. You know, you have to look at facts. And if you can establish something as fact, and then look at the logic behind it, you can start to put the pieces together and start to see, like, hey, this is what's going on. And and so we're in it, certainly in a time of change right now. And that's what the Great Reset is all about. It's Klaus Schwab's attempt at wrangling the world during this time and reframing it into a new world order, and a new world order that these globalists ultimately control. And so what's going on right now is that you're starting to see the pushback. You're starting to see the people start to figure out this plan in this, you know, coming dystopia. And they're starting to get like, hey, no. Yeah, we see what you guys are doing. And I use this analogy. I say, you know, we're at the end of the movie, The Wizard of Oz. You know, we see the little guy behind the curtain, the little dude sitting there pulling the strings. I'm like, all the way from the Bank of International Settlements all the way down to your gut microbiome, you know, we are being manipulated. You know, and so it's like, got it. We see you. You know, Roger that. We're moving this direction, and we're not following you. You know, and this direction we're moving is fun and cool. You know, we can use this technology for amazing things, and we can have a very, very bright future as long as we get it right.
Well, as we wind down here with the AITC, the AI Trust Council. By the way, guys, if you want to go check out the AI Trust Council, go to theaitc.com. That's the AI Trust Council website. And then you can check out Christopher Wright, AITC, on Instagram. I'm sorry, LinkedIn. Is that the same on Instagram?
Yeah,
or
LinkedIn's good. Yeah. If you just do Christopher LinkedIn. Wright, AITC on LinkedIn.
Yeah, Christopher Wright, AITC.
Yeah, please connect. Anybody who's like-minded, please connect, because we need as many people, and the site's getting built. We're getting funding right now. And so, you know, as we get bigger and bigger, we need, you know, key people to be a part of this. And
so the site, you got the site, right? You're going to bring first responders and military and people that are humanitarians, right? When they come to the site, what's going to happen? Like, what's the, what happens on there?
Yeah. So on the website, basically, you get, we have a really strong KYC process. So know your customer process. Where that's one of the fundamental things that's missing right now online is the ability to know who you're talking to. You know, how can you spot a bot online, you know, and it's very difficult, and it's going to become more and more difficult. So the KYC process is really critical. We have physical keys that we're, that if you're on the trust council, you would get 5 keys. These 5 keys you can give out to your friends, your family, anybody who you trust in your life. And you're basically bestowing an honor to them. You're like, hey, you know, here, you know, I trust you. And from that point, they're now on the trust council, then they can appoint 5 people and so on. And ultimately what you end up with is a very large network of, trusted individuals that can, and that network can be used for a lot of different functions, that exist today. And so I can get into a lot of the details of it, but kind of think of it as, you know, it's Web3. You own your own metadata. It's backed by blockchain, transparent, inspectable. You know, we're solving the major issues of big tech today, the corruption, and we're giving people another option to have social media that you control, that is uncensorable. So that we're trying to mimic real life, and the idea is to mimic the trust dynamics of the real world. And apply those trust dynamics online.
So with this last question here, as we wind down, how are you prepared to fight against the forces that are going to come to try to stop you from doing what you're doing?
We have the high ground because we're operating in truth and honesty, and you know, they say the truth will set you free, and so that's where we're at, you know, and you know, that's the Achilles heel, the you know, the globalist cabal, is truth and honesty. You know, they're sitting on a mountain of, misdirection, lies, you know, you name it. You know, our reality has been shaped by these guys, and, you know, and it's not really reality. You know, I think most people kind of see what is real and are starting to figure out that, hey, we've been tricked. We got it. Nice try, guys, but you know, we got a bright future ahead of us, and you know, we're not listening to you. We're going this way, and it's cool. You know, we're having a good time, and we have all the tools and technology available today to have an amazing future. And so, yeah, we just need to focus on that.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thanks for being here, man. I could talk to you for hours. I'm sure people, if you guys want to go deeper with Chris, get up with him on LinkedIn. Okay. We already gave you the handle there, Christopher Wright, AITC, but also he's going to be out on the podcast tour going around. So you're going to be looking for him. And I'm sure these other hosts will have different questions for him and get into different topics. So pay attention to Chris Wright. Look him up and make sure you're following him so that you know when he's out there on other shows. Chris, thanks for being here, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, guys. You've been listening to the What Are You Made Of show here with your boys C-Rock and Chris Wright in That One Studios. Until next time, make sure you subscribe, like, comment. Look for the thatonemerch.com if you want to wear some That One merch. Be in That One. And until next time, we'll see you later. We'll keep you bringing you great guests. Be That One.
Reimagine.